be seated. The sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. The focus this morning will be on verse 12. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Pray with me. God, help us now as we dive into your word. Give us good understanding of how this applies to us now. In the faces of our trials and our tribulations, in the face of the commandments and the words and the scriptures that you speak to us day by day, in the context of our neighbors and our closest neighbors, in the context of our church, in the context of this nation and in this world, show us what it means to love with sincerity, Lord, and to persevere in tribulation. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the scripture and as we look briefly at Isaiah chapter 53, we saw what happens when a perfect one, or one who will walk in the Father's will, comes to earth. And as he lives in accordance with God's will, there's a pain that comes. There are trials that come. There are afflictions that come. Paul, even speaking in the ways in which he was living, talked about the sufferings of Christ being completed in his flesh. He wasn't saying that he was achieving for us our salvation or our atonement, but saying, in a world of sin and misery and suffering, in a world where the people hate what is righteous, when you come, when you labor, when you walk in righteousness, there will be a pain. There will be suffering. There will be trials. There will be persecution. When Jesus sat with his disciples, and oftentimes I imagine that these intimate moments that he had with them, they would maybe be sitting in a fire at night, and he would look at them and lock eyes with them, and he would give them some heavy thing for them to digest. I think of the time he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." And his eyes locking with each of them, and them each looking at him in this moment and looking at one another. And I imagine one of them saying, "What's behind the second door? Is there another option for me? Is there another option for us?" Well, as we look here, and Paul is telling us how the word and how this salvation plays out in our lives, he looks and he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate the things that are evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. And then as he goes and saying, what you're going to need to do in the midst of this, rejoicing in hope and persevering in tribulation. Persevering in tribulation. As the pains come, we're not to be surprised. As the hardships come, it's not to be a shock to us. But we're to see that as Christ lived and he suffered in this world, as he was hated, as Paul lived, as he suffered in this world and as he was hated, as the disciples lived, as they suffered in this world and as they were hated, even to the point of death, and the patristic fathers and all through history, those who truly lived for the gospel, they've suffered and they were hated. And here we're told, rejoice in hope. And persevere in tribulation. So the message now is, don't give up when it hurts. Don't give up when it hurts. And our first step is expect godly life to hurt. Expect godly life to hurt. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. Matthew 10:22. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. That sounds amazing. Verse 15, make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. We look and we see that it is going to come. The trials are going to come. Verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. We look at life and we look at this world and we look at the things that are happening, and all the advertising says, you're supposed to be happy. You deserve to be happy. Life is supposed to be good. We watch our movies and think, but I'm supposed to ride off into the sunset and it's supposed to be happily ever after for me. I want friends. I want good things. I want life easy. I want a life free of friction. This is what television and movies and advertising tell us. This is what life should be. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for the testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. I heard the testimony of a preacher recently, and they talked about this man doing something that I almost never do. They said he would always, with anticipation, be looking to the sky, waiting for Christ to come back, looking for any sign of His coming. And he would do so with joy, and he would do so with encouragement. I find myself more quickly looking to the shadows, I'm afraid, of the sorrows and the sins and the pains that are coming. But a heart that is looking for the coming of Christ can deal with these hurts and these sorrows and these pains, and we're not surprised by them. This brings us to our next step. Don't give up on what is good when it hurts. Don't give up on what is good when it hurts. Again, Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. This picture of persevering and expecting it to hurt Leslie tells me the story that when she was in the Army and she was at basic training, she remembers running along in her Army uniform with her great big heavy bag on her back and tears running down her face, crying, saying, "My recruiter lied to me." None of it was what she was told. She wasn't being given the good stuff that she expected. They told her that the runs, they're easy. You could do those at a brisk walk and accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. They lied to her. We look and we see, and we are not to be surprised that this is supposed to hurt. And that we don't just give up when it does. Our relationships hurt. Our witnessing in this world, it hurts. People are going to reject it, and people for a time will hate us when we bring it. It's never been the case that the first time I bring somebody the good news, they say, "Wow, thanks." But they hate it. They hate it. They hate the news that God is perfectly holy. They hate the news that we are sinful. They hate the news that Jesus had to die to reconcile us to him. This is why it says persevering in tribulation, because the world will hate it. This is why in Hebrews 12:2 it says, "Let us run with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus." And it reminds us there, who endured the cross. Jesus who endured the cross. This is why when he sat with his disciples said, "You have to take up your cross daily and follow me. This will be the reality of your life." But in our sufferings, there is much being accomplished. When you are not letting go, but you're holding on and you are continuing on, there is much being accomplished in every way. In your own refining. The scripture likens us to a raw piece of silver with lots of impurities in it, and it's taken and it's put in this little bowl and it's put over the fire and it's being burned, it's being melted, and the impurities are coming to the surface and they are being scraped off again and again, and you are being made pure. I heard someone describing this process at one point, saying the refiner will work and work, and each time he looks in, as he scrapes off the dross and looks, his own perfection becomes more perfect and beautiful in the silver that's being refined. The image of God in you is being perfected as you are being refined. So don't give up on what is good when it hurts. Our next step, number three. Rejoice in hope in the midst of your pain. Rejoice in hope in the midst of your pain. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Romans 5:3-5. And not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So be glad in what you know will happen. He's going to do good things in you as you are being hurt. Again, Romans 12:2. Jesus in his suffering, not that ours compares, but Jesus in his suffering. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before you, what he's going to accomplish. We endure our trials. We endure our tribulations. We don't give up. Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. It will be accomplished. He will see his image reflected in you perfectly. And in this world and in this life, he's accomplishing that through the pains that we suffer in doing what is good. Also, what is being accomplished, Psalm 22, 27 and 28, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. So we rejoice in what we are suffering. And the scripture often talks in terms of a mother in childbirth. Talks about those birth pangs, those pains that are taking place. Well, the mother's first time, it's a bit more dreadful, it seems, that this is the first time they've known this pain. And they'll think, is this right? Or am I dying here? Am I being undone? Well, the second time, probably the same. And the third time, the same. And the fourth time, maybe the same. But a day may come where they realize, God has given me children. And sometimes they've been a blessing. Sometimes they've been wonderful. We think of the mothers in the congregation. It baffles me. They see these babies and they oh. They're just delighted each time they see one again and again and again. And I say, wait till they're three and they can hold a sword. And then I will enjoy them too. But mothers, they love these children that are coming. And we find out they think the pain's worth it. They think the pain's worth it to have this beauty. To have these children that they love, that are so adored in their sight. Christ thought the pain was worth it. He thought the pain was worth it. He endured the cross with hope, seeing what God would accomplish. Us. And what he will do. He looks to the end and sees you perfected in your suffering, in your trials, in your pains. We are to look to the end and look to that day where he can look and say, well done, good and faithful servant. To look to that day where the church is presented as the bride, beautiful and perfect without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Our fourth step, make certain that when you suffer, you are suffering for righteousness. 1 Peter 4, 14 and 15. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Make sure none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or as a troublesome meddler. So all of the suffering that is being placed on us, we don't always assume that we are suffering for righteousness' sake. Sometimes we take these things on ourselves. Suffering as a murderer. Well, prayerfully, none of us here are murderers, but Jesus said, you know, when you hate someone, you're murdering in your heart. Is this suffering that you're facing because you are a hater? Are you suffering because you are doing evil? Are you suffering because you are a troublesome meddler? These are not the sufferings that are being talked about here, but we must look and analyze our suffering and make sure we're suffering for the right reasons. We have family friends, and one of the things that they enjoy this sport that I say is ill-advised. They continue on in this sport, and they keep suffering injuries in this sport. And they've had a fractured knee. They have had a broken femur. They have had, their little girl has had 3 concussions. And they continue on in this suffering and in this pain and in this pain. And my family member keeps saying, perhaps you should stop that. Oh, I've hurt my shoulder. Don't touch it. I hurt it in my sport. You should probably stop that. My little girl has another concussion. You should probably stop that. As it goes on and on and on, one day a prayer request was sent out. Please pray for my child who has now a broken collarbone. And they stated something along the idea that we don't know why this keeps happening, but his ways are higher than our ways. And my response was, that's like someone standing next to a brick wall, banging their head off of the brick wall again and again and again, saying, pray for me, I keep getting hurt. And as we say, no, stop banging your head off the brick wall, they say, no, no, his ways are higher than our ways. You know, there's suffering that isn't meant to happen. We are not meant to suffer as murderers or thieves or evildoers or troublesome meddlers. But the idea is that we suffer, and our suffering is for the name of Christ. So how do we discern if we are suffering appropriately? Our fifth step, make Scripture your map for suffering. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof. That's telling you what you're doing wrong. For correction. Now how to do it right. For training in righteousness, marching forward in what is good, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we look at our suffering. Am I suffering for the name of Christ? And am I being refined in my suffering? Am I becoming more Christ-like? Am I loving? Am I gentle? Am I moving forward? Am I dealing with my world and my closest neighbors? Or am I suffering as a hater, a thief, a murderer, or a troublesome meddler? Or am I suffering because I'm being lazy? Am I being a lazy glutton? Am I being a slothful person? And we look at ourselves and ask the questions in the midst of our suffering. Am I doing the weightier matters of the law? Justice and mercy. Micah 6:8, we hit it in Sabbath school this morning. The Lord has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And that walking humbly with God is done walking with Christ like Christ Jesus. So we look and make certain that we are suffering like Christ for justice, for mercy, for faithfulness, and in humility. Now, as you look at Scripture, there are any number of ways for us to suffer as we look at it. We could take any one of the commandments and say, this is the hill on which I will die. And we can take it and apply it to the hilt, and we could use that one thing to make everybody hate us. We could do that. Is that, though, what we're being called to do? So how do we take the Scripture and apply it to see if this is the area in which we should be fighting and dying for it? Well, this is our sixth step. Make certain that you are suffering in accordance with wise counsel. God gives us elders and leaders to help us and to direct us. Acts 20:28, be on guard for yourselves. And this is God, through Paul, speaking to the elders. Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Saying, the Holy Spirit has given you overseers for you to talk to them. Bring them your concerns and bring them your questions. So that we will not be the person banging our head off the brick wall, shouting, no, 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 his ways are higher than our ways. Proverbs 1:7 warns us, that fools despise wisdom and instruction. We need the help. We need the help in dealing with our own blind spots. Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Each of us are blind in different areas, so God gives us the church for us to consult with and be given direction. To walk humbly with God, we have to see our own lack of wisdom. To walk humbly with God, we need to know which issues are the issues to fight over at this moment. Even any of you who work in secular employment, or even Douglas, if he took any one of the commandments and tried to enforce them thoroughly and completely with his workers there, he would be fired. Our work and our labor and the changes take the wisdom of life, and that is those that God has placed in our lives to help us and to direct us, to see that we're not casting our pearls before swine, to see that we're not answering a fool according to his folly at the wrong time, to see that we're not looking for distractions so that we don't have to deal with our actual dominions and the things that we have to care for. So the suffering comes. The suffering comes, but we must look to see that the suffering is for the name of Christ. That you're suffering because of justice and mercy and kindness. That you're suffering like Christ. Take this idea on. Think of Jesus here. And we think of his suffering. His suffering was because he stood up to the religious rulers and dealt with them directly. Right? He dealt with them. But think of his interaction with everybody else. Think about how he was loved by the weak and the lowly and the simple and the sinful. They loved him. They wanted to be around him. If he was at the tax collector's house having dinner, there they came. They were there. But at the same time, we realize and understand, he never stepped back from the truth at all. Never, ever, once. How did he accomplish this? How? Because he demonstrated continuously that he was devoted to each one of them and their good, and he really did love them. His love was without hypocrisy. He hated what is evil. He clung to what is good, and it was in every one of his interactions so that everybody knew exactly where he stood, and he did it all without sin. We persevere in tribulation. We suffer with rejoicing, with our eyes set on the author or the champion and the perfecter of your faith, as he had his eyes on the cross and what would be accomplished in the cross. Our eyes are there too. What will be accomplished in us as we really love one another, as we suffer like Christ Jesus, we do so with this hopeful expectation of all things coming together, all ends of earth remembering and turning to him. The good work begun in us being accomplished. But it's going to hurt. He's never been that recruiter that says, oh no, easy. You can accomplish it with a brisk walk. He says, no. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, but we go with hope. With hope in what he will accomplish. So don't give up. It hurts. I know it. Jesus knows it. We all know it. Don't give up because of what Christ will accomplish in your suffering when you suffer according to his word. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your great message and your truth. We thank you that you have not lied to us, but we with unveiled faces see what's going to happen and the pains that we will face. Give us encouragement and give us confidence and give us hope and be glorified as we persevere in tribulation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.